Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us and together, we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, what do we mean by God? And before we explore this topic, I'd like to say a few words about Alice Bailey, founder of the Lucis Trust. Lucis Trust sponsors this show, Inner Sight. Alice Bailey wrote 24 books of esoteric philosophy, and those 24 books are the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show. The following thought is also from the works of Alice Bailey. Divinity must be lived, expressed, and manifested to be understood. God must be loved, known and revealed within the human heart and brain, in order to be intellectually grasped. How can we try to understand God with such an inadequate mechanism as the mind and the brain?
Well, with great difficulty. I think that's why we have such a variety of views on the nature of God. That's why we have so many different religions in the world. It's why there's such misunderstanding and mistrust of each other, because there's probably no more profound subject than one's belief or non-belief in God. And the fact that not everybody agrees on the nature of God, I suppose, is a tremendous challenge to one's own sense of truth and the rightness of one's beliefs. Part of the problem is that I think people try to formulate an understanding of God by relying upon their intellect too much, or if they don't rely upon their intellect, they just accept whole hog the doctrine given to them as children by the religion in which they were raised, without really thinking through the tenets of their faith or understanding the reasons for what they are taught. But when you try to bring in the mind and the brain, then the analytical reasoning, rationalizing mind is trying to approach a subject that is incredibly vast. I was just reading this morning in Ode magazine an article called Is God a Delusion? And it had to do with the best-selling book by the British scientist Richard Dawkins. His book is on the bestseller list now. It's called The God Delusion. So you can get an idea of what he thinks of religious faith. He thinks it's a real limitation and a handicap to human intellectual growth. Dawkins is an evolutionary biologist, and what he's really taking issue with is creationism. I don't think with religion in general, but with creationism. And he sees fundamentalism as a real danger to the scientific impulse.
Right, because it's the limitations are of, here again, it's the limitations of the mind that have created the creation myth, so to speak, and it's due to that inability of the mind to reach beyond or to the more abstract understanding or to the wholeness of the understanding of what God really means. And so the focus of this type of thinking tends to be very personal. Mm-hmm. So they make the creation and God a very personal thing, and as a consequence you get a very distorted view of the creation itself and of the nature of God.
I think this idea of a personal God who's interested in our every thought, word, and deed and holds us in judgment for all our actions and spoken words, I think that's of a former time. God as a kind of a master puppeteer really denies human free will, human freedom of thought and creativity, and human responsibility. And perhaps this is what the various atheist doctrines that are circulating today is challenging. It seems to me that atheism and especially agnosticism are factors of a transitional era when the old ways no longer really suffice, but the new hasn't clarified. And I think that we're in a transition to a new understanding of life and the world and the origin of the world, the creation of the world, the purpose of it. Fundamentalism is also, I think, a factor of transitional times, because it's an attempt by people to nail down absolutes at a time when there's great change and flux, trying to nail down certain truths that they consider unassailable, beyond question, and absolutely true. And they stake their very sense of themselves and their sense of their humanity on those truths. To some extent, we're all guilty of this. We all have our truth on which we stake our claim and refuse to budge.
Yes, and the esoteric teachings have their we stake their claims on a certain version of truth, and we don't know whether they're it is the final truth or not. But there is quite a bit of different view than the fundamentalist approach. And because in the esoteric traditions, as particularly as those outlined by Alice Bailey, there is the God transcendent and also the God immanent, the God within, and that is in the nature of the soul, and that's not always emphasized enough, and that's why one side seems to emphasize the God transcendent, the God outside his creation, and which is true, but there is also the God within his creation, and that is the part that it seems to be so difficult for people to understand right now.
I think seeing God as only a transcendent being in a way leads to fear and to a kind of distancing from him. It also inspires awe, and it stretches the consciousness to try to encompass something incredibly vast and superseding everything the human mind understands. But it can also foster a kind of objectification, if that's a word, objectifying God as separate from or apart from his created world, this belief in God transcendent as a being out there somewhere or up there somewhere, whereas God immanent is the understanding that God is present in all creation, including within every human being. We find different religions have different expressions for this dual view of God. God as the great life is spoken of as the one in whom we live and move and have our being. The Bhagavad Gita spoke of God as having pervaded the whole universe with a fragment of myself, yet I remain. He's also sometimes spoken of as the one about whom naught may be said. I think that's my personal favorite. The one about whom naught may be said.
It's so great that there's nothing you can say that's going to define it.
Silence.
Here again is the limitations of the mind that make it impossible to really define God at that level.
So is it saying that, according to the scripture that you just quoted, that we're
mankind cannot comprehend God.
Can't comprehend Him and shouldn't try to give verbal expression to it. I love words, I love language, I love attempting to put a really profound thought or recognition into verbal expression. But there are times when one should simply be quiet, silent in the face of something so vast.
Because, yeah, I mean, the vastness, it's when we say God, what do we mean? Do we mean the God of this planet, the planetary God? Because that is one stage of godness. there is this God that gives life to this every form, the planet itself, and every form upon the planet. There is an essence of this life, the one life. But beyond that, there is also the God of the solar system. And this is from the esoteric traditions, the teachings. There is the God in the solar system that is also of an even larger and greater nature than the God of the planet. So, I mean, there are different gods, and that's why it's the one about whom not may be said is perhaps even beyond that. So, I mean, out in the universe. So, I mean, it goes on and on and on.
I wonder if we'll get into trouble by saying there are different gods. What
different aspects of the one God.
Different aspects, different layers of realization. I suppose monotheism was the first attempt with what, the Egyptian Akhenaten was the first monotheist to define the unity of God, the oneness of God. But it still, at least to my mind, objectifies God as a being out there separate from his creation. Whereas the accusation against some religions like Hinduism that they worship a panoply of gods, to me, has never been very disturbing, because I think what they are simply trying to express by the different gods that they recognize is the many facets of one, of a unity that is expressed in many different ways.
They're more like energies and forces that are existing in nature.
There's a wonderful statement by one of the greatest Hindu teachers of all, Shankara, who spoke of Brahman as God without name and God without definition. He said, though one, Brahman is the cause of the many. There is no other cause. And yet Brahman is independent of the law of causation. Such is Brahman, and thou art that. Brahman exists within every human being as Atman. There is a seed or a germ of divinity within every human being, within every fragment of creation. Thou art that.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. Our topic for today, what do we mean by God? Lucis Trust has a special offer from the Lucis Publishing Company, and that's the Alice Bailey book entitled Ponder on This. Ponder on This is a compilation of extracts from all 24 books by Alice Bailey. And by the way, it includes a chapter on today's topic, The Nature of God. It's available for $19, and the discount for today comes in the form of free shipping and handling. What you need to do if you'd like to take advantage of this offer is send a check or money order to Lucis Publishing. Lucis is L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Ponder on This was one of the first Alice Bailey books that I read. I really enjoyed it because it's an overview of all 24 books by Alice Bailey, and it gives you a chance to look at those topics, perhaps, that you'd like to look at first and develop a priority list for the larger books that you might want to go back to and go into greater depth on in regard to certain subjects that you find within the book Ponder on This. So once again, if you'd like to take advantage of the offer, please send us a little note. The title of the book, once again, is Ponder on This, and it includes a chapter on the nature of God. It's not God. What you need to do, once again, send a check or a money order, $19, to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. If you'd like a package of general information, a package of general information will give you a lot of information about Lucis Trust, what it is. I suppose our most frequently asked question is, well, people frequently ask, they'll say, is it a religion? And no, it's not a religion. It's a spiritual philosophy group, and if you go to one of their meetings that they have every so often, you'll meet people from all walks of life, many different religious backgrounds, and I suppose the commonality of during the meetings is a discussion of spiritual improvement, and the topics are topics that everyone seems to relate to. So once again, if you'd like to call us for a general package of information, you can call on our toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. All of our Inner Sight programs can be heard on our website at www.lucistrust.org. Once again, it's www.lucistrust.org. On the homepage, you'll find a link to today's program, which will be available for hearing in a day or two. Last week's program is already available, and many of our past programs can also be heard. Once again, it's www.lucistrust.org. Lucis is L-U-C-I-S. The theme of each week's program is posted in advance on our website, also, so you can see in advance what next Sunday's program will be. And for those of you who were kind enough to send tax-deductible donations to us, please continue to do so. We certainly appreciate your support. Those donations, well, that's what keeps us doing these radio shows for you. They're very important to continuing these shows. Donations can be sent to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Some people have expressed from time to time an interest in underwriting this show. If you'd like to find out how to do that, give us a call. And on the number that I previously mentioned, that would be 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. I'd like to go back to the opening thought, because after the discussion, it seems to make a lot more sense to me. And once again, it was a thought by Alice Bailey, and divinity must be lived, expressed, and manifested to be understood. God must be loved, known, and revealed within the human heart and brain in order to be intellectually grasped. Now, I interpret this to mean, and I'm not absolutely sure that I'm correct, that what we must do is internalize the values of God as much as possible and then out-manifest them. Have I got that right?
Yes, I think as we internalize those values or those attributes of divinity, then we come to know the living experience of God in our own consciousness, in our own heart. There was a wonderful statement by, I think it was Aldous Huxley, who said that the last end of man, the ultimate reason for human existence, is unitive knowledge of the divine ground. The ground and the knowledge that can come only to those who are prepared to die to self, and so make room, as it were, for God. I think we have to make room for God in our consciousness by giving up our self-reference, our self-centeredness. And that's why the previous series of programs we just completed on the attributes of God might have been a good preparation for this discussion. We tried to identify the seven qualities of divinity, the seven psychological aspects as they manifest in the human soul.
Right, and those, in addition to those seven qualities, there is also the most important one of all, the quality of love, because God is a God of love, and that's one way that we can identify the God within, the God immanent within us, is by looking how that love manifests in the world, how it manifests through us, through every one of us. It's there by way of the soul. The human soul is that divine expression of love on the that works between God and man, the created person in the world. Between God and his creation stands the soul. The soul is the agent of God, and the nature of the soul is pure love. And this is how this works out in our own daily life, is one way we can see God in that manifested state.
I remember after September 11th, so many people said, "Where was God that day? Where was God?" As if they expected a hand to reach down and save us all from the murderous crashes of the planes. To me, God was very evident that day. He was present, as you say, in the love that was so palpable in New York City at the time of that terrible tragedy. People did everything they could without any analysis or reasoning at all to comfort others. There was the man who had a restaurant on the major avenue leading up from the World Trade Center, when people, many of them walking barefoot and full of ashes, were trudging north on their way to somewhere away from the World Trade Center. They didn't know where. I mean, it was so confusing. And all he knew to do was to empty out his restaurant by putting all the food he had on the tables on the street. And he fed everybody that walked by. And there was another shop that gave away all their shoes, these Chinese cloth slippers, to people who had lost their own shoes in fleeing the buildings. God's present in those moments. I don't know what we're looking for.
Well, yes, I mean, that's a prime example of the God within. It just suddenly comes out spontaneous. I mean, when it is spontaneous like that, that is evidence of the soul at work.
Mm-hmm.
And that, because spontaneity is spontaneity of action. Without the mind stepping in and analyzing, said, should I do this? Should mm-hmm. I not do this?
Mm-hmm. Or,
you know, what
is this going to cost me?
Yeah, what am I going to get out of it?
Yeah.
I mean, they put all of this wall and these barriers up in front of this pure energy of love, and it just gets buried. And but, you know, with such a tragedy like the Trade Center, it overcame everything,
yeah.
That all the questions, mm-hmm. and people responded.
There are other attributes of God by which we can recognize him. Just to look back a moment on the series we completed, the seven great psychological aspects of God are the tendency to blend and synthesize, the quality of the hidden vision that makes us move on towards something that we only dimly sense as fine and good and high. The instinct to formulate a plan for our life is an expression of divinity. The urge to creative life through the use of our imagination is an expression of divinity, to imagine a new and better world for all. And the factor of analysis that uses the mind to identify the component parts of the created world, and in time to see the presence of the divine creator in all those fragments. The quality that's innate in every human being to idealize, and the interplay of the great dualities that brings a sense of a complete wholeness into our minds. These are all traits that express the presence of God.
Yes, and I think the more we think about that, the more we really understand how God is working through us. And this is not a religious question. It's simply a life question, a question of life and how life manifests through us, and how life, which is the will of God, the nature and the will of God, how that really is manifesting through us, maybe in a very minute way, but it's there, and it's something that can be tapped and magnified and brought forward into one's consciousness.
Another way in which we can understand the nature of God and the ultimate unified ground is in the realization of the etheric body, which is the energy body that substands or lies behind the outer form. every human being has an energy body. Our planet itself has an energy body or etheric body. And this etheric body, the Ageless Wisdom says, that substands every form in nature, is an integral part of the substantial form of God Himself. We're not talking about the dense physical form, but the energy that lies behind the outer form. Alice Bailey said, we use the word God to signify the expression of the one life which animates every form on the outer objective plane. It's the etheric or energy body, therefore, of every human being that relates us to God and makes us a part of God and a fragment or of expression of His nature.
Yes, and we all know the saying, man is made in the image of God, and this is part of the image. Mm-hmm. This is the kind of the inner, the esoteric image of God. And this is part of our nature, too. It's how we are made. We have this same inner esoteric spiritual nature. It's this same energy body is part of the one energy body of the planetary creation.
When you think about that, you gain, I think, a deeper understanding of God as the one in whom we live and move and have our being. That, to me, is so much more satisfying than thinking of God as this great being out there somewhere, which in me fosters a sense of disconnection. But thinking of myself and everyone I know and can imagine as living within this presence, this great life, to me is revelatory of a kind of inclusiveness and a synthesis to our world that takes away any sense of fragmentation.
Right, and it gives a better sense of purpose for your life if you realize that you're not here. It's not about me. It's about God. It's about the plan working out through you.
Please take advantage of the special offer from Lucis Trust, or Lucis Publishing Company, actually. And that's the Alice Bailey book, Ponder on This. Ponder on This is a compilation of extracts from all 24 books by Alice Bailey, kind of an overview of her work. And it also includes a chapter on the nature of God. The special offer comes in the form of free shipping and handling. It's available for $19. So if you'd like to take advantage of this offer, send a check or money order to Lucis Publishing. Lucis is L-U-C-I-S. Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Thank you.